I'm Ray to slash a bird.
No quarter. I am going to be uncomfortable and all over you from start to finish.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Outside of the Box. And today I am here with Tim from Chubby Unicorn, who I've wanted to talk to for a long time because it's a robot that I just think is great. So I'm excited to have you come on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Now, I don't actually know that much about the robot because I'm still... Like, it's crazy to think, it feels like I've been following the robots at NHRL forever, but I really haven't been following it for that long. There's still so much that I don't know. But when you kind of brought Chubby Unicorn onto the scene in the first place, what was the idea and like inspiration behind the robot?
Yeah, so Chubby was not my first bot that I tried to bring to NHRL. Originally, I wanted to do something totally silly. It was a full body drum, similar to like a Noob Tube kind of style or Pepe Silvia. Speaking of, I think those are awesome robots. They have a special place in my heart because I always wanted to do a full body drum. And I got most of the way through it, and then it exploded its way off of the lathe and tried to kill me and my machinist friend. Just shortly prior to us having to actually pack up and go to NHRL. And so I decided that, you know, maybe Pied Piper was not going to come to NHRL. So I went and was able to support some other members of my team, learn a little bit about NHRL, get to check the place out, and just I probably had a better time than showing up with my garbage robot, just to see the place and learn a little bit and chat with people. And so that was pretty fun. Chubby Unicorn was the idea of going the opposite direction. So it seems like there's a handful of different games you can kind of play at NHRL. One is, you know, make something creative and exciting and cool. And then the other full direction is like try hard. You know, what does it take to be competitive? You know, the difference between Loctiting this bolt and not Loctiting this bolt, you know, wins the golden dumpster or something like that. So I wanted to see, what does it actually take to go all the way there? And do I even have the chops to keep up with the big names in this hobby? I've done a lot of engineering stuff. I went to school for mechanical engineering originally and then switched over to computer engineering. So like I'd been out of it for a little while and I just wanted to see, like, could I even do this? And so I went with a design where I could know that if it didn't work, I could blame me and not the rock, paper, scissors. It was clearly my fault if it didn't work. So that's why I went with a four-wheel drive vertical spinner, kind of like meta boring default shape for Chubby Unicorn.
I mean, the shape may be meta, but the fact that it is a rainbow blade of death, I think is really what sets it apart.
Yeah, I just got a comment from Kokoto Mane saying that he liked my four-wheel drive vert aesthetically. And I thought that was, you know, from him of all people who makes such cool, exciting, neat shapes and exciting robots, for him to tell me that my, you know, boring four-wheel drive vert was exciting. I was so honored to hear that. I must be doing something all right with the theming. So pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's funny because I've talked to a few people about that. And I mean, you wouldn't think that it's a big factor, but in terms of at least grabbing fans' attention and, you know, having people take notice, theming is a big part of the sport. Like, you know, you see a robot, like, sure, maybe it wins matches, but if it's really boring and doesn't have like a clear direction, it's not that interesting. You have to have something that kind of sets you apart. And I think that's definitely that factor for you.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm glad the aesthetics worked out as well as it did. So, I definitely wanted to go a little more silly with it. The naming behind Chubby Unicorn is, it's a play on words for rhinoceros. So, bad translation of rhinoceros. And the reason for that was the shape of the original horn design for the weapon, I thought, and the way that it blended with the kind of roundness of the upright section there, looked kind of rhinoceros-esque to me. And then I wanted to go full opposite direction of, you know, the really aggressive blood and gore and, you know, danger theme that a lot of people go with. And so I thought, you know, rainbow unicorn would be a fun juxtaposition to that. And then it's extra fun when you've got like pink sparkly rainbow bot goes into the cage and then is so violent. There's just something fun about that to me. So I got a kick out of it.
Yeah, it's so funny because I've often asked my 8-year-old if she made a robot, what would she want to call it? And she has said every single time without hesitation, Rainbow Sparkle Unicorn. That's what she would want it to be named. So
awesome. That's a great name for a robot.
Yes. So, you know, I think that it's something like, I think the great thing about it is that it can draw just a wide variety of people. You know, obviously I'm sure kids that follow combat robotics see it and love it because of the design and they're like, hey, that's cool. And like, even with the name and everything, but then you have, you know, competitive fans of the sport who like it because it's very good at destroying other robots.
Totally. Yeah. I've had a handful of younger spectators, you know, say, oh, I love that bot. And, you know, I think it looks so cool and stuff like that. And that just, it brings me so much joy that they can latch onto something like that and see things that they like in this sport is not just like, I don't know, hyper competitive. I mean, obviously I am a try hard and this is a try hard bot, but that's not the only thing there. There's something else they can look at. And if I can make one person excited about robotics, then, you know, that's worth all of it. So that's fantastic.
Absolutely. Now, as far as, I mean, it's been competing a little while. You've definitely racked up a pretty good record, but was there a certain point from when you started bringing it to events that you were like, wow, this is a really good robot? Like, when was that moment for you?
Yeah. Yeah. So actually Chubby Unicorn was hot garbage when I started. It was, that bot would have lost a 3-minute match against itself, just in the cage. It was absolutely terrible. So, like my speed controllers were not set up correctly. It was blowing drive motors. There were just a whole host of problems with it. The overall shape and kind of like main structural design was pretty similar to how it is now, but there were just so many little problems that added up to a big problem. The bot was just bad. So just working through fixing what's broken and trying to prevent myself from fixing what's not broken, you know, and downgrading instead of upgrading accidentally has been a challenge. But building towards that, it was, I want to say November of last year was my like official V2 version of this thing. And I won a fight against Sombra. And I remember... losing the first fight I lost against Beetlejuice because I had not put the nut on my weapon shaft correctly. It got upside down. It spewed its guts all over the place. And I was like, you know, another silly, stupid mistake that I've made here. And it cost me. And then I put it back together. I double checked everything correctly and it started winning. It just was like really violently winning. And then I saw that up next was Sombra and I was like, okay, well, I had a good run today, you know, feeling good, that game over, but fine. You know, what an honor to be able to fight Tomas and, you know, this is going to be great. And then I won and I was like, this does not make sense. That is not a thing that could have possibly just happened. And then it won a couple more and it was like, holy cow, this is like, it just worked all of a sudden, finally. So I think that was the major turning point. I was like, whoa, this could actually be a thing that works. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I would be remiss if I didn't talk about the couple of epic battles that you've had with Chainsaw Kitty, which is, I mean, I think that like, the robots, even though they're so different, they're so similar in the sense that like that robot also has a very strong theme and it's one that a lot of people connect with and really love. And they're both very destructive, obviously. So I'd love to kind of talk about the battles that you've had with that team because it's just been epic.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's one of my favorite bots. Just the team is so great. They're awesome to chat with and they go in with the right attitude. We had an awesome grudge where the objective was we want bots to hit the ceiling. I don't care if it's my bot. I don't care if it's your bot. I want all three of them to hit the ceiling. They're mini bot and, you know, both of our main bots. And we just wanted to put on a show, and man, we put on an awesome show. That was one of my favorite fights for sure. And then we got another chance to have a more serious fight in the actual tournament. And it was an awesome fight right up until it wasn't. Their switch gave up. So it wasn't even real damage. It was, you know, a switch failure in there, which was such a bummer. Because the fight itself was so good. I would have loved to see, you know, both bots limping at the end of 3 minutes and see what the judges would have thought of it. But I really like some of those huge explosive fights. There's another one with Twin Beast that I just get absolutely shredded apart. And that's one of my other favorite fights. And then a brand new one from the most recent event, I had a grudge match with Warhard. And it was just an absolute slugfest. It reminded me a lot of that that grudge against Chainsaw Kitty, where it's just humongous hits back to back, and somehow both bots stay alive all 3 minutes. It's just awesome to watch. So I love those huge hitting fights for sure.
Yes, absolutely. And speaking of which, I have to talk about it, not only because I was there, but it just was like on an epic, you know, run is... I'm curious how that was for you in September, being one of many robots that had the pleasure of fighting Synthesis during that run, and then kind of seeing where that ended up leading. I just want to hear from your perspective what it's like to fight Corey, because I've told him many times I have no desire to have my robot anywhere near your robot.
Corey is an incredible competitor. He's been doing it forever. He's made like 100. He brings a new bot every time, or he used to. I don't know how he has the time to put all these, and they're all good too. It's not like he brings a garbage robot every time. It's incredible. So, and then Synthesis had almost a similar theme to like Chubby Unicorn, where the original version was mediocre, I guess. And then holy cow, he just improved it like overnight. It was unbelievable. It got so much better so fast. And now that fight, it felt like I was fighting a 12-pound. Like, he was cheating. It was unbelievable. I couldn't get around to the side. It was impossible. The whole front is just scary, and if he hits you, it's like a ton of bricks. It's unbelievable. So yeah, he's an incredible driver. Just Corey with any robot is frightening. And then Synthesis, yeah, it's like he's driving a 12 and I've got my little 3-pound and I just don't even stand a chance. So honestly, I was just excited that at the end of that fight, because my weapon had gone down, so I knew it was game over anyway. So I went around to his side of the cage, and we were trying to line up big hits, because I just wanted to see the bot hit the ceiling. And by the end of the fight, the robot wasn't completely destroyed. So I thought I took that as a win on my end.
Actually,
durable
yeah.
Enough to get shredded by Synthesis and still be, you know, semi-functional at the end.
Yes, it sounds like you were in better shape than Lynx and Droopy were.
Somehow. That was such an incredible fight, watching that. And then just watching the like pure emotion from Corey at the end of it. He like... didn't know the fight was over. Like all of a sudden it like rushed all to him. So awesome. What an awesome fight.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's what I love about typically like within the community is I think that everybody just appreciates each other's robots so much. And, you know, just looks at these fights and like, wow, this is so good. And I'm so excited I get the opportunity to have this fight. I mean, that's just a delightful thing to me.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, a bot like Lynx and a bot like Droopy, I mean, they're literally the only two winners of an HRL. So like, and then for Corey to go in there and like almost make them look silly just doesn't make sense. It's unbelievable. And then if you, to your point, you go look at the footage review or the camera afterwards, and Calvin and Tommy have the biggest grins in the whole room. they're having more fun than Corey is. So I thought that was so great.
Yes, absolutely. Sometimes it can be fun to see what happens to your robot in these situations. I don't think I'm there yet that I want to see any robot that I build in pieces. So
the way I look at it is I don't get the chance to scrimmage Corey every day. So, and my chassis for my robot, at least I gather this isn't true for everybody, so it's not as applicable, but the chassis for my robot is really inexpensive. It's all cut from UHMW, and we have a CNC in house, and it's very, very cheap. I think I calculated it to like $10 or something. I would gladly pay $10 to see where my robot fails, and who's going to teach me a better lesson about where my robot fails than, you know, Corey driving synthesis. So I love that. I want to see bots hit the ceiling. And if I get a lesson out of it too, man, I'd be happy to pay the $10, you know?
Absolutely. That seems like a pretty small fee to learn a right? lot of things about your robot. For that's fantastic. Unfortunately, of course, you know, you didn't win everything this year. So, I mean, I think the big thing is looking at what you've learned this year, like what have you learned and what lessons do you intend to carry with you into 2024?
Yeah. So I think the big one is, I don't love my drive setup still. It definitely was a major improvement. This last little upgrade I did, I think it still needs some more improvement. I'd like to make the bot a little more efficient. I think I'm leaving battery power on the table. And I'm having to be more gentle and think too much, I think, about how to drive the thing rather than, you know, there's too much going on to have to think, really. So that's one thing to do. And then the other thing is, I think the weak part finally of that robot is me, which is the best. That's best case scenario. So I just need to put a whole bunch more practice into driving, get better with the thing, really fully understand how it moves and why. And I think that's going to be a huge upgrade, is just the driver being the problem. So I'm excited to see the potential there. Also, to be honest, I'm kind of burnt out on Chubby Unicorn. So I need a little bit of a break from it, and not changing things and just changing me instead, I think will be a much needed benefit, a great upgrade for that bot. And then the best way to go about that mentally for me too. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And that kind of leads into another question is, you know, because I like to ask this to everyone, is this, you know, this is the robot that you want to stick with, or have you actually thought of any other potential designs to, you know, bring?
All right. So I'll give you an exclusive. There's like two people who know about this bot. This is Pretty Fly. It is a horizontal flywheel flipper. I gathered that this is a podcast, so you'll have to come check out some of the video if you want to see the sneak peek. But horizontal flywheel flipper that I've been developing. And so that is the thing that I'm looking forward to trying to figure out. It is extraordinarily complicated. The likelihood of it ever being competitive is extremely low. But again, I just want to see bots hit the ceiling. And I think the best way to go about that is big, silly flywheel flipper. So I'm excited about that for the future.
I love that. And I think that it's really bold to go with a flipper, because I think it's really, at least as far as I'm aware of, it's pretty uncommon at the lower weight levels to see one, you know, because people usually go for, I mean, kits are obviously popular right now, which I think are great. I mean, I think it's an awesome way to get people into the sport that really aren't comfortable yet with what they're doing. Totally. But the flippers is just, that's not something that you see. I mean, was that part of the reasoning for going in that direction, was just to do something different?
That's definitely a major aspect of it. The other thing is, I've always loved flippers. So watching BattleBots on like Comedy Central time frame, I thought the flippers were just the coolest when I was a kid. And so I was like, oh, I'm always gonna, I wanted to build something like that. Come to find out that like the right way to do that is probably pneumatics. The problem there is, if you want to do it with pneumatics, there's like the solenoid you need to be able to push enough air through this thing that you'd buy off the shelf is like a pound. So that makes it basically not feasible unless you do everything custom. And the problem is, like, pneumatics are literally a bomb. And so if I don't know enough about that, then I lose my hand. And like, I'm just not trying to play that game. So I was trying to think of a different way that I might be able to go about storing enough energy and dumping it quickly enough. And flywheel was the only thing that made sense to me. I just didn't think I was going to be able to get enough power out of a spring-loaded flipper. That's not to say it's not possible. I just wasn't able to think of a great way to do it. And so this has been in the works for years and years now, trying to come up with different solutions to figure something out. And honestly, there's no guarantee that this one even works. So it might be years years more of thinking, but hopefully this will get me a little closer.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I love the idea of, you know, trying a different direction and trying something that we don't normally see. So I'm excited. I hope it works.
I hope it works too. I don't think it'll win, but it should be fun. So what's more important?
Yeah, exactly. Some different goals. People have, you know, different goals with combat robotics. And I think that all of them are valid. And, you know, it's just, it depends what you personally want to get out of it. And I think that's great.
Totally. Yeah. It's just trying to play the other game there, the other NHL game. It doesn't have to always just be try hard. I played that game. So, and I'm sure I'll come back to it. I've definitely got the competitive bug for sure. But this will be fun to try something else for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Fully understand that. Well, I'm excited for it. I mean, I think that you definitely have proven yourself to be a formidable builder and competitor, and I'm excited to see what the future has in store. So
thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, for everybody that's watching, keep following. There's sounds like some exciting stuff to come. And of course, please make sure that you like this podcast, subscribe, all of that good stuff. Keep supporting combat robotics. I'll say it on every episode, probably until people are tired of hearing it, but it's so important. And just, you know, keep doing that. And we'll see everybody next time on the show.
Thanks, everybody.